Amen. Well, it is our honor to be here. Appreciate so much the Lord and His goodness. I was thinking about Elijah when he was had run from Jezebel and hid in a cave, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And I've been trying to figure that out all day for myself. Amen. But I trust the Lord to help us. I was reading just some different stuff, and I read about a young man who went back to, he was asked to speak at his old seminary. And so he went back, and he got up in front of the large crowd, and he said, "Well, what I have to say must be pretty good." He said, "My knees are already applauding." And so I don't know if that fits the bill, I'm shaking enough I can feel it when I walk across this platform. Amen. I do appreciate this meeting. It has been a blessing to us the years we have came. And I feel so overwhelmed to be here. But I love God's people. I love the homeless people. 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago, I didn't know there was any such people as independent homeless people. We came out of a nominal church, and I'm not going to say too much about that, but I'm glad to be among you. My burden is to be a blessing to you. Amen. If you can call it a camp meeting message, I don't know that I've ever preached one. I come to preach to preachers. And probably I'm not the one to do it, but it's failed my lot. I'll tell you, I'm not necessarily preaching what I want to preach, and maybe I ought not say this, but if I preached what I want to preach, I'd preach on the divine order of the Holy Ghost. I believe in Pentecost. I believe in spontaneity and the worship. But I believe the Holy Ghost does everything He does in decency and in order. We need that among us, don't we? Amen. But I want to bear to you the burden of my heart. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, excuse me. Give honor to Brother Ingram and Brother Austin. Appreciate them so much. Preachers that preached this morning, my wonderful, I like preaching like that. I say wow a lot when the preacher's preaching, but my soul was saying whoa. I want to be touched by the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 1, if you'll stand with us in reverence to the reading of God's word. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." If the Lord would help me just a few minutes, I'd like to preach to us on preserving the distinction of Pentecostal preaching. May the Lord bless you. You can be seated. The highest calling, the high calling of preaching. I guess one could argue that everybody that is saved is a part of ministry, for we have all been commissioned of Christ to spread this gospel. But the uniqueness of us to collectively here tonight is that we have been called to preach. Pastors, evangelists, missionaries, some now teaching, other school administrators, whatever role you feel today, the uniqueness of your calling was God called you to preach. I realize there's a lot of other offices that preachers feel, a lot of other responsibilities that we have to engage in. When I was a young pastor, had a district meeting, and in that meeting we were discussing preachers, lay preachers in the church, and trying to promote them among our fellowship. And some of the pastors said, "We need to let them know there's more to the ministry than just the pulpit." And it's very true, but one man stood up and said, "Yes, I agree with you. But the calling that God put upon their life was to preach the gospel. Amen. Amen. The prophetic anointing to preach that moves upon a man of God. The feeling of the unction of the Holy Ghost that comes upon us. Amen. Jeremiah described it. He was trying to hold back from it. But in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, when he said he would not speak anymore, make any more mention in that name, he said, I found it was like burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. There was preach inside of me, and I had to preach. Amen. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and we've heard some out of that chapter. But in that 9th chapter, in the 16th verse, amen, Paul said, woe it is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Because that is the calling that God has placed upon us. Amen. It's to preach the gospel. So to us tonight, I affirm what we all know. We must preach. Now, we're in a time of sweeping change in our nation, and has been for many years. Several years ago, the message of hope and change took center stage, and it left us almost hopeless and with a lot of change. Amen. And still, there's a lot of uncertainties. Amen. A lot of us have breathed a sigh of relief, maybe, but there's still a lot of uncertainties. But you just think about the different hour you're living in. The things that have forever changed that will never revert back to the way they are. You're living in a different nation than you were 10, 15 years ago. We are dealing with a different culture than we've ever dealt with here in America. We are dealing with a different society, a different type of people. And unfortunately, I have to admit that we are also dealing with a different church. Amen. Major Pentecostal movements, organizations have celebrated their century of Pentecost. And I just happened to have came out of one of those organizations. And that's after a century, 100 years of Pentecost. If we take an honest evaluation of Pentecost as a whole, not just here, Pentecost is in peril. True Pentecost. Not just murmuring and emotion, but true biblical Pentecost is in peril. I hope the Lord will help me preach. Amen. What I call classical Pentecostalism, which we experienced a revival of back in the early 1900s, gave way to neo-Pentecostalism. A charismatic sway that come across the land, and there were millions outside of even the Protestant faith that embraced Pentecostalism. I read at one time there were 26 million tongue-talking Catholics and about 5 million tongue-talking Mormons. So in that neo-Pentecostal, and now we're entering an era where it is possible that America could see a post-Pentecostal generation. The methods of Pentecost have morphed into such a way. Amen. One more thing. Those major Pentecostal organizations, of those, in most of them, at least I think of the three major dominating, less than 50% of their people claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And we wag our heads at the homeless church. Amen. But I've done it at my church, and I challenge you to do it at yours. Go home and say, how many here tonight don't have the Holy Ghost? And it's shocking how many people sit in a Pentecostal holiness church but not living the doctrine that we proclaim and we preach. The method of Pentecostal preaching has morphed in many places. Till now, preaching has been replaced with teaching. I'm not against teaching. I like it. Amen. But it's become the main pulpit ministry, the teaching ministry of Or I know one church, a Church of God pastor talked to me. He said, in a lot of our areas now, we don't really have preaching. He said, we're encouraged to give 15 or 20 minute pep talks and just to encourage the people to do good and to fellowship and spend time, quality time with their family. He said, that's becoming the modern method and mode of a lot of our churches. The method has been morphed and the message has been diluted. Amen. Years ago, I heard Brother Russell MacDonald preach, and he said a comment was made after a message. I hope it's not made after this one tonight, but somebody said that was the deepest down goingest, longest down stayingest, nothing up bringingest preaching I've ever heard. Oh God, help me. I hope that ain't what happens here tonight. Amen. But the reason it don't bring anything up is because it has been so diluted by all the secularism and all the sways and the modern movements. Oh, come on here. Several years ago, Brother Shoecraft preached the Thursday night service, and he got to talking about different trends that have come in the church in America and how that even among Pentecostal holiness people, we have fallen sway to feel like we are relevant to our society. We feel like we have to do it the way the big church does it or the mega group does it. Y'all go help me preach here. Amen. But in doing so, we have watered down our message. And in the midst of that, the ministry has become disillusioned. I don't have the statistics before me. I've heard them. I've read them. But the statistics are staggering. The number of men that leave the ministry. Burnout. Done. Overwhelmed. And my prayer is that we don't let it happen to the Pentecostal holiness people. Oh God. I wish I had time. I'd tell you some stories, but I have shed untold tears. I was fourth generation Church of God, and I have shed untold tears when I go back and I see things and how they've changed and just the mentality that people have, people that taught me and instructed me and told me what was right to talk to them now. It's mind-boggling. Amen. And I don't want to lay down my guard. Now you may think I'm preaching a little too defensively, but I don't want to lay down my guard. Amen. I feel like the independent holiness people, amen, are the last hope of America. I don't believe there's another movement waiting in the wings somewhere that God's going to raise up and use. Amen. I believe we're the nail in the sure place, and if this nail fails, if the nail of the independent holiness people, amen, fail, there's going to be a generation that's lost and die and go to hell. Amen. So tonight I preach to you with a burden, amen, not as your enemy, not as your adversary, amen, but as one of you. We have the most precious thing, amen, the message of Pentecost, and at all cost we must do whatever it takes to preserve it. I don't want to get to doing it like they do it. Amen. I watched Brother Tommy Tolliver step out again tonight. Amen. And dance across the floor. Amen. I knew what I was going to preach, but in my heart I said, Lord God, I want to do it. Amen. Like men like that do it. Amen. Honor Brother Charles Barnett and hear how God's used his life. And I say, God, that's how I want to do it. Amen. I don't want to follow, amen, the latest, greatest trend. I want to preserve the Pentecostal message. I want my children to have it, all of my children in church. Two of my children are married. I have now two precious little red-headed grandbabies. I want them to know what Pentecost is. I want them to hear, and please don't take this wrong. Amen. Just where I've been, that's all I can preach is my story. Amen. But I remember when the church made the transition from Holy Ghost to Holy Spirit. And I know throughout the scripture it says Holy Spirit. Amen. But we didn't have a move of the Holy Spirit when I was a boy. We had a move of the Holy Ghost. When I laid up under that pew and watched them old saints shout, amen, that lady have a heart attack in church, and they pray until she's dancing and shouting. Amen, cancer's being healed. Miracles taking place. It was a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen, and when I look at my grandbabies and my children, amen, and other young people, I want them to be raised in a church, amen, that's Pentecostal. We are not just an emotional church. We are not just a noisy church. Amen, but we're an Acts 2. Amen, Bible, holiness, Pentecostal movement. And you and I, brethren, the responsibility of bearing the Pentecostal message rests upon us. You are the present of Pentecost, but you are also the future of Pentecost. Amen. We must preserve a couple little points here. We must preserve the distinction of the Pentecostal method. Now, I realize in preaching styles, things vary a lot. I preach different than most people, and there's a wide array of, and I'm not preaching again a certain preaching style. I hope I can make some sense of this. There are things that are distinct about Pentecostal preaching. Pentecostal preaching invites the spontaneous and the immediate. Now, I believe it does it in order, but I do believe, amen, things just happen in a Pentecostal service. Amen, when the wholeness preacher's preaching and the Holy Ghost is a-moving, amen, something spontaneous. Amen, I've seen it wash over a man. He's preaching in one direction, and then all of a sudden the Holy Ghost changes everything. And it's what this certain emphasis. Come on here. Amen, that is one of the distinctions of our method. We don't have everything choreographed out. Amen, sure, we've got a schedule. We've got an idea of how things are going to go. Amen, but we put in parentheses, everything is subject to the Holy Ghost. Amen. We must not allow ourselves to pre-plan our sermons, amen, and our services until we completely write out the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You listen to me. Amen. We can't schedule him in, or we'd already had him scheduled here tonight. Oh, yes. Amen, but we can't afford to leave him out either. Amen, we need to make room for the Holy Ghost. Amen, even while we're preaching. Pentecostal preaching, it exhibits the dynamic and the power of the Spirit. Not only are our words inspired. Now, I'm not saying everything a preacher says is infallible. Amen. If he reads the Bible just like it says it, it's infallible. Amen. But that's probably the only infallible preaching we do. But our words are inspired. God breathes on us. And we speak things we really don't know. Come on here. Amen. Sometimes the commentary is not the one we pulled off the shelf, but it's the one the Holy Ghost breathes into our hearts. Amen. And makes alive and makes real to us. Not only is it inspired, Holy Ghost inspired, but it's also Holy Ghost unctionized. Amen. I don't do a lot of running and kicking and jumping and stuff. Amen. Well, it's too much of me to do all that, okay? Amen. Amen. But I want to feel what I preach. Amen. I don't want it just to be something I lay out on paper. I want it to be something that burns in my heart. Amen. That is. Come on here. Brother Gentry talked about it this morning. Amen. I got a young man in my church. Amen. He got up the other night. Amen. He was so nervous he couldn't hardly stand still. Amen. But he preached. Amen. And you could see it in him. Amen. It was coming out of him. Amen. There was something burning in his heart. Amen. He didn't preach probably 5 minutes or 10. Amen. But it was Pentecostal preaching because it was inspired and it was unctionized by the Holy Ghost. Our method, our message is focused and resonant with the sense of a prophet. We don't preach as speakers. Now, I realize not every time we walk to the pulpit do we stand there and say, "Thus saith the Lord." But there are times when a Holy Ghost man walks to the pulpit and the prophet mantles on him. And he says, thus saith the Lord. The distinction of Pentecostal preaching, it penetrates, it is punctuated by the supernatural and the unusual. Amen. Signs and wonders follow Pentecostal preaching. Amen. It is arresting and captivating. Amen. Driven and empowered by the Spirit. It is relevant. It is life focused. It preaches to the now. You don't have to read the greatest Baptist book list, amen, to find what's relevant in pulpits in America. You can get anointed of the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will preach to your congregation what is relevant, amen, in 2017. Oh, yeah. It's relevant. It preaches to us. Amen. I don't know who all Brother Webb and Brother Gentry preached to this morning, but they preached to me. They preached to me because that's Pentecostal preaching. Amen. It may be John 3:16, but John 3:16 will find the elder among us. Amen. And work on their heart. Come on here. Amen. It is relevant. Amen. It is with authority that is anchored in the Word of God. The Bible is our standard. I quote Holiness preachers because they're my favorite preachers. Amen. Brother Webb said one time at a meeting, he said, it'd be amazing how much light the Bible will shine on those commentaries. Yeah. Amen. Our authority is anchored in not the Greek and the Hebrew lexicon. I'm not against all that. Amen. Not in how many commentators we've got to cite. It is anchored in the authority of the Bible. I don't care what that commentator said. The Bible said. God said. Come on here. Amen. It is adaptive to the personality of the preacher. The preacher becomes a part of the message. God didn't make us clones. Brother Sutherland, he has helped me tremendously. One instruction, one of the first instructions he gave me, he said, Jamie, be yourself. And that's what God wants all of us to do. We're not clones. Come on here. You can practice it. Amen. Brother Steve told about, Brother Gentry told about this morning. Amen. Preach Brother Brim's message. I don't know if you've heard about that yet or not. Amen. But you can't clone Pentecostal preaching. The man's got to become part of the message. Pentecostal preaching is clear, simple, and direct. It is not saying that it is shallow. That is saying it is clarion. It is clear. You don't leave wondering, you know what was said. Pentecostal preaching is declarative, not apologetic. One of the saddest things I ever remember, as a young preacher, I went to a big meeting, and one of the icons of that movement, unreal, the kind of preacher he was, stood before he preached in that large state camp meeting and apologized for the things he had preached for so many years. Oh, God, if it's in the book and you got the right spirit, you ain't got no reason to apologize. Hallelujah. Amen. Preaching is not about us. It is about the moving of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit should be in operation. Preaching, Pentecostal preaching, is not apart from. It is not an either or. It is a part of Pentecostal church. Now, I know sometimes we say, oh, we had church last night. We didn't have any preaching. And I understand what you're saying. I'm not trying to be hard about that. Amen. But I'm gonna tell you, you can have church and have preaching. There are times we don't have preaching at Remnant. Amen. But you can have Holy Ghost church. Amen. And it be part of the worship. Amen. Now listen, Pentecostal preaching is not an end in itself. Amen. This is not the main attraction. I think we need to keep the main attraction, the altar. Amen. How we consummate what the Holy Ghost does and what the preaching does. Amen. It's not an end to itself, but it is a means to an end. Amen. And it's a chosen means of God. Amen. God chose preaching, and he chose Pentecostal preaching. It is not entertaining. Amen. It is to be soul stirring. Secondly, I need to hurry. Pentecostal preaching, we must preserve the distinction of the message. Amen. Now I realize that there are major Bible themes and great doctrines. And especially in the pastoral ministry, if you're there in length of time, you're going to get into all those. And I think you should. I think you ought to probe all through them. Amen. May not have to give your congregation all the ologies. Amen, but you're going to give them those great Bible doctrines. But when I was a boy growing up in a holiness church, in a Pentecostal holiness church, Church of God, there was a couple messages you could pretty much count on in every week. They were going to preach to the lost, usually, and that was usually the message they preached on hell, because they always preached on hell. They would preach on the coming of the Lord, usually sometime during that week. They would preach on Pentecost during that week. Amen. Those three were the themes that I really remember. But doing some research and studying, I found that there has historically been several, probably five messages that have historically been part of the Pentecostal heritage. It was the distinction. Now, I understand the most important message we preach is the message of salvation. Okay? Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We ought to preach Christ. And I know Paul here in the scripture text, he said, I purpose to not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And there's this ideal that has been floated around somewhere that we're not to preach anything but Jesus. But this same Apostle Paul was the one that gave us instruction on almost every holiness standard in the New Testament. Amen. So Paul was not saying the only message a holiness preacher can preach is a Jesus message. He said when you preach on Calvary, you're preaching on Jesus. When you preach on Pentecost, you're preaching on Jesus. When you preach on a sanctified life, you're preaching on Jesus. When you preach on the Holy Ghost, you're preaching on Jesus. When you preach about the gifts, you're preaching on Jesus. When you preach about the coming of the Lord, you're preaching on Jesus. Amen. Our message, amen, must be built around the hallmark of our Pentecostal themes. The emphasis of our preaching cannot become just whether or not it's topical or expository, whether or not it's alliterated, amen, whether or not it has notes or it's just extemporaneous, amen, that's not the mark of Pentecostal preaching. Amen, the message is the mark. The focus is on the grand truths, the distinctions. If you will just give me a few minutes, I want to talk to you about some of these distinct messages that are part of what we are. Of course, the doctrine of salvation, I've already told you, and I'm not trying to slight that. Now, please, I hope you don't misunderstand this. Amen. But one of our distinct messages was a message of a separated life. It was a message of holiness and sanctified living. Woo, hallelujah. Amen. I was raised, amen, that holiness and sanctification was a prerequisite and also a product of a spirit-filled life. Amen. It was not preached as an option. It was not preached as something you'll maybe get one day. It was preached as a Bible doctrine. Amen. We must be separate. Come on here. I'm not going to get in tonight. Amen. Although I do have a very strong opinion, I'm not going to get into the timing and the work of all of it here. Amen. In this message. Amen. But we need to hold, amen, the doctrine of a separated life high. Come on here. Amen. We can't afford to sacrifice convictions of the Word of God simply because subjects are a little bit controversial. Amen. You may not believe it just like I believe it. You may not think you get it just like I believe you do. Amen. But if you're going to have a Pentecostal holiness church, amen, you've got to preach a holiness standard. Amen. You've got to preach a sanctified, separated, amen, pure life. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Separated from the world. Amen. God forbid. Amen. That the last generation church, amen, becomes so super sensitive to this political correct society that we quit naming sin. Don't just tell me for 45 minutes that sin will send me to hell. Give me a list of them. Amen. Tell me, put a name on them. Amen. Tell me what out there in the world has sent me to hell. Hey, there's things that are question marks today. Amen. That 15, 20 years ago when I come among you were not question marks. Television was not a question mark when I come among the independent people. Watching movies and videos was not a question mark. I was told very point blankly, nicely, courteously, they weren't ugly to me. Said, if you're going to preach among us, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Amen, that's part of our message. That's part of our message. We can't lose it. Come on here, oh God. Lord, help me. I don't want to get off on a tangent preaching standards here. Amen, but I do default on them sometime. Amen, I'll just be honest. Amen, preaching needs to be holy or unholy, righteous or unrighteous. You know, we got so many categories we put stuff in now. All these different file folders, we separate things out. Amen, people are in confusion. We need to preach it black or white. And throw away all the gray paint. Hallelujah. I told my church, now you may not do it this way, and I'm not telling you I do it right. I told my church there's some things, amen, maybe they're questionable, I don't know, but somebody's got to make a call on them. And since I'm the pastor, I'm making the call. We ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave that alone, okay? Amen. But we're not going to leave all this gray area in our church. Amen. Help me, Lord. The distinction of our message is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It was not preached as an option. Something you could, it'd probably help you. Jesus said it is expedient. It is to your advantage. You need this. Amen. We need to make it a part of the necessity of the New Testament church. Not just a shouting church, but a Holy Ghost baptized church. We need to preach that the speaking in tongues is still the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is not the only evidence of the Holy Ghost. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, there's a lot of other evidence, but it is the initial evidence. Amen. He takes that unruly member that no man can tame, and the first thing he does to let everybody know he's there is he takes control of it and says, I'm in charge now. Come on here. Amen. We need to preach to our people. You need a baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Hey, I understand Paul wrote to the church about the operation of the Spirit, and he warned them that we can't just be a tongue-talking church and nothing else. Amen. I think some places forgot there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, not just 2. Hello? Amen. But Paul, he did not rebuke them for speaking in tongues. He told them, forbid not to speak in tongues. In another place, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. Amen. Preachers, we need to practice. Amen. We need to pray through until the Holy Ghost moves through us. Amen. And we need to let the Holy Ghost speak in our churches. Divine healing. All the gifts of the Spirit, but divine healing was a hallmark of the classical Pentecostal movement. Amen. Because they preached Jesus crucified. They preached faith in God. And it brought men and women to the place they believed God, and God working among them with signs and wonders following them. Pentecostal preaching is accompanied by the gifts of the Spirit. You see, there's a connection between the physical man and the spiritual man. Pentecostal preaching deals with both of them. It deals with the spiritual needs of an individual, but it also deals with the physical needs of an individual. We can't worry about following signs. We need to have signs following us. Lastly, real quickly here, amen, about preaching, the distinctive of our message is the coming of the Lord. This is another subject I'm very adamant about. I have a very strong opinion. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, okay? Amen. You don't have to wonder. I am pre-tribulation, okay? I'm not going to preach that doctrine here. Amen. But I believe the Lord could come right now. I believe in the imminent return. Imminent return of Jesus Christ. Come on here. I believe it is a blessed hope. Amen. Controversy has robbed us of the comfort of the coming of the Lord. Do you know part of the reason we struggle, amen, with faith and we worry and we're so vexed in this hour is because we don't have hope in this life. We know, amen, that one administration's not going to fix what's wrong with America. In fact, I heard the Congressional Budget Office, they released a statement today, said by 2027 we'll be almost $30 trillion in debt. It's not going to fix it. And if we're not careful, we get to trying to put our hope in reforming this world. This world's bound for judgment. This world's ripe for the wrath of God. Amen. Our comfort is not derived, amen, from some renovation of our society. Amen. Our comfort is derived from the words of Jesus in John 14. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I and there you may be also. Our comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen to this next verse. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words. This is not about controversy. Amen. This is about the comfort, amen, of God's church. Amen. This is a blessed hope. That blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. It is a purifying hope. And it is part of our Pentecostal message. I'm almost done. One more little point here. Amen. Maybe our music can be getting ready. I don't think it'd take me too long. We need to preserve the distinction of the Pentecostal preacher, the man. Burn out, leaving the ministry, struggling. Amen. Too many places, the pulpit has become our occupation. Our vocation, not our calling. Amen. I can't speak for everybody. When I got called to preach, just a young boy, I was going to be a full-time preacher. I was 16. I was fixing to go full-time. I didn't. But it was in my heart. I had to work for several years before I ever was able to go full-time. But I was working to support my ministry. Because I was in it full time. It was my life. It was my calling. I may have had to have a vocation to support my calling. Amen. But my calling was the ministry. Amen. In the ministry, and it was dealt with so well this morning, I'm not going to rehash it. But we must preserve the character and the integrity of the Pentecostal preacher. The only hope we have, brethren, is our supports, our family. Brother Barnett gave honor to his wife so well. The support that we derive from our spouses, from our children, from our extended family, from our friends. Brother Savage said part of the blessing of this meeting is just being to come and draw strength from one another. Our friends, and for the ministry, preachers understand preachers. That's a pretty tough task to understand a preacher. But preachers understand preachers. They understand there's just some things you can't say. There's no words for it. Amen. But ministry consumes energy. Gives, it burns. It's spirituality that restores energy. In Song of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6, and I know what it's talking about, but the scripture said, they made me the keeper of the vineyard, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. And if you get busy keeping everybody else's vineyard and you leave yours out, eventually you're going to run out of wine. Eventually you're going to run out of wine. We need fresh oil. That's what the psalmist said in Psalms 92 and 10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The commission of Christ in Luke 24 and 49 was to go to Jerusalem, tarry, till you be endued with power. It was a mandate. We must maintain the mandate of the ministry. Be ye filled with the Spirit. The only hope Pentecostal preaching has is to have Pentecostal preachers. And what makes us Pentecostal preachers is not our preaching style, not our dress style, not our worship style. It is the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. Ephesians 5 and 18, be ye not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We need to preach Pentecost in principle. It is our doctrine. We need to preach it and make it our declaration, but it also needs to be our practice. We need it demonstrated in our life. We cannot afford to become cheerleaders for everybody else's Pentecostal experience, where all we do is pray for them and cheer them on and tell them, come on, come on, you can get it, you can have it, you can have it. Amen. We got to get it for ourselves. In Acts 2 and 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. But in Acts 3 and Acts 4, they're ministering. And they're spending that energy. They're working. They're laboring. So in the latter part of Acts chapter 4, verse 31, they had a prayer meeting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And tonight, if we're going to preserve the distinction of Pentecostal preaching, amen, at this minister's conference, amen, we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I've got the Holy Ghost, preacher. Amen. Well, wouldn't it be nice to get him again? Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to get refilled with the Spirit of God? Amen. To get a fresh tongue talking. Amen. Dancing, shouting. Amen. Experience of the Holy Ghost. That is my burden tonight. I want to see Pentecost preserved. Amen. And it starts with me and it starts with you. Fill me, Holy Ghost. Baptize me, Lord. Baptize me, Lord, with the Holy Ghost. Baptize me again. Cover me up from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Oh God, submerge me in that living water. Amen. Shake me. Shout me. Amen. Dance me, oh God. Amen. Let me leave full. Amen. Let me go back with a fresh oil touch on my life. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's come into this altar tonight. Amen. Let's have Pentecost. Amen. Just seek a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost here tonight.
We're filled with the holy boldness, born to prophesy. The prophet Jeremiah wounded his voice to cry. He quiet folks commanded, go home and leave us alone. He said, how can you be quiet when there's fire down in your bones? Well, Jerusalem was shaken. Pentecost had arrived. There was an upper room experience. They were drunk on the new wine. Well, Peter stood among them, and he said, there is no doubt. The this Holy Ghost fire, it'll make you want to shout.
Well, it's like the fire, sharp in my bones.
Well, Holy Ghost
fire, sharp in my bones. It's like fire, sharp in my bones. Holy Ghost fire, sharp in my
bones. Some people get offended because I dance and shout. They say that's too much emotion, too much moving about. Well, don't tell me to be quiet. Go sit down in some pew. Cause if you felt what I felt, I know you'd be shouting. Well, it's like fire.
Shut up in my bones.
Holy Ghost fire.
Shut up in my bones.
It's like fire.
Shut up in my bones.
Holy Ghost fire.
Shut up in my bones.
Well, now Jerusalem was shaking. Pentecost had arrived.
There was an upper room experience.
They were drunk on the new wine. Well, Peter stood above them and he said, there is no doubt. This Holy Ghost
fire, it'll make you want to shout. It's like
fire.
Shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost fire. Shut up in my bones. Too much moving about.
Don't tell me to be quiet. Go sit down in some view. Cause if you fail,
then I know you'd be
shot too. And it's like fire.
And it's shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost fire. Shut up in my bones.
There was an upper room experience. They were drunk on the new wine. Well, Peter stood among them and he said, there is no doubt. This Holy Ghost fire, it'll make you want to shout.
Cause it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost fire. Shut up in my bones. It's like fire. Shut up in my bones. Holy Ghost fire. Shut up in my bones.
Be quiet, folks commanded. Go home and leave us alone. He said, how can you be quiet when there's fire down in your bones? When you see Jerusalem was shaking, Pentecost had arrived. There was an upper room experience. They were drunk on the new wine. But Peter stood among them and he said, there is no doubt.
It's Holy Ghost fire.
It'll make you want to shout.
It's like
fire.
Shut up in my heart.
People get offended because I dance and shout. Well, that's too much emotion,